This is a great day for us, and a bad day for the Chosen. My niece, Brady, the one they call the Divine Child, is back with her mother. Everything that gives their lives credibility is now in our hands. And now, we are joined in numbers by our friends. We are a force to be reckoned with. And I'd like to thank Amber for that. Amber has been talking to tribe leaders. We meet with them tomorrow. If they agree to help us in this fight, then we start planning to end the Chosen's reign of terror forever! Yeah!
So welcome to Series 3, Episode 29 of Conversations on Eagle Mountain, a podcast about the tribe. I'm your host, Lance, and joining the podcast panel today is Liz.
Hello.
Sabine.
Hi.
And Maggie.
Hi.
We have episode notes done by Matt and myself. So Series 3, Episode 29, the screenplay was done by Tony Osborne. It was directed by Andrew Merrifield. And the episode synopsis was read out by Sabine.
Luke, Celine, and Tally are blamed for Brady's disappearance and are put on trial. Disagreement amongst the rebels over Trudy's presence threatens to derail an important meeting with the tribe leaders, while Amber hides his secret from Bray.
Alright, panel, a lot to go through in this episode, so let's jump into that opening scene. So, Bray addresses the rebels to celebrate the return of Brady, and finally remembers that she is his niece in this instance. And he thanks Amber for her work courting the support of the tribe leaders, who they'll be meeting the following day. During all this, however, we do notice that Amber is keeping Bray at arm's length, which he is beginning to pick up on. So panel, let's focus on the first bit of that. What's your assessment of Bray's speech to the rebels he gave, Amber's analysis of what's going to happen when the Chosen are gone, and the position the rebels are now in?
Finally, do you know how many episodes I've been waiting for him to remember that that's his niece? I mean, does this mean his amnesia is over now?
The amnesia he got in season 2?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, or, you know, early season 3.
It won't last long. He'll forget again in a minute.
It won't last. I don't know. I feel like this is all a lot happening at one moment. And it's like they're trying to pack all of this into one scene. All that needs to be gone over, I guess. So it feels a little rushed, in my opinion.
The script feels very last-minute homework assignment, first draft. Mm-hmm. It really needed... I mean, it's not that I don't like the ideas being expressed. I just feel like they're being done in a really lazy, half-assed way. And the fact that there's so much also happening, as Maggie just pointed out, it just acerbates it. You know, all of the problems of the season and how they've handled the Chosen and what we see of them and how their takeover has affected the city, it's all compounding as we get to these last couple episodes of their occupation. And all of those problems are just shining through. Like, I don't know, these scenes should have more impact. This scene should have more impact when Bray is saying what he's saying. But because he hasn't shown any care for his niece whatsoever, it has no impact. When we really knuckle down to what have the rebels achieved, what have we been doing all this time waiting for Amber to come back, it's just like, really, this is what we've been waiting for? Another, you know, leader meeting with people who don't want to do anything? Like, that's why we were waiting for Amber, for her to do that? We could have done that ourselves. I thought Amber was sorry, I won't jump ahead, but I'm just saying, like, this doesn't feel like it should. It really doesn't. And because they did a terrible job of showing us, you know, the world out there, I'm like, seriously, you spent all that time, Amber, this is what you were doing. You were just finding out that nobody wants to fight. Like, that's what you did. You were the one. Mm-hmm. You were the one that we had to wait for. And you're the only one who could talk to the other tribe leaders. And you were the only one who knew where to find these other tribe leaders. And all you got to say is, yeah, they'll meet with us, but they don't want to fight. The people are scared. And it's like, this is what we've been waiting for, really? The moment when Trudy, you know, Bray does a speech and stuff, I will say, I'll give it one point that I did like. Everybody clapping really felt like me. Like, you could tell that they're not on board with Trudy. I actually kind of appreciated mm-hmm. that. Like, there's a half-assedness to the fact that they're clapping. More like, well, we won, that's one against the Chosen. But they don't give a crap about Trudy or Brady's situation.
Mm-hmm.
And you can feel that. And I actually do think that works, because why would they? You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Most of them don't know her. Yeah. And don't give a crap about that storyline at all. One blow for the Chosen, that's it. And I like what Amber does express her worry, especially in hindsight when you know why she's concerned about these things.
Mm-hmm.
That is, I can understand her feeling like this is why I left in the first place. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. That's a scary thought. That's a scary barrel to look down. But yeah, otherwise I'm kind of just like, you're trying to put too much happening here. There's no time for it to sit with you. And I kind of don't care. I really don't care about the situation the rebels are in. I'm just like, let's just finish this up. Let's sweep this up. We're going to do it in two episodes instead of all that bad pacing that we sat here for weeks.
Yeah.
You know, like, let's just.
Okay, got to finish the story.
Let's just sweep this up, please. I'm sick. I'm sick of it.
No, agreed. It feels like this is just rushing now to get this storyline finished. Like, all of a sudden we've got, oh, what's going to happen afterwards? Like, well, guys, we've been spending all season.
Well, it took so long for them to bring Amber back, you know?
Yeah.
And why on earth are we waiting for Bray to give a speech before Pride mentions that the Guardian is this mentally unstable? Why is he waiting for this?
Oh, I don't know.
I mean, I'm glad that he expresses that worry, but because, you know, Pride is someone who wouldn't shout that out to the whole group with, oh, I think the Guardian has lost his mind. He's going to kill everyone. You know, it's at least it stays in character for him to just go to one person with that worry. But I don't know, with Amber's worries, it's, yeah. Her saying everyone's frightened, they don't want to fight. And of course they are. That was the same response Amber gave them in the first place. This is not our fight. We're staying out of this. We don't want to get involved. It wasn't until she was pushed that she allowed her tribe to join in. And, well, she was outvoted in that.
Yeah, it's just a shame. Like, writers should have done a lot more to show what Amber and Trudy have been doing all this time, really. Like,
yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It does feel like a waste. Just, they just come back and they actually haven't done anything apart from Trudy being deprogrammed. That's actually it. She's not brought an army. She's not brought sympathizers. She's not brought supplies. I mean, nothing has been brought back.
I mean, maybe this is what they had to do to that Antonia and Beth could have some away from the show to do whatever else they were doing at the time.
See, but this is the thing. They know they're going to be gone for a certain period of time. Like, should have planned out the storyline to give the other characters enough to do and to give them something to do that they have been doing when they've been gone. Yeah, like.
Yeah, and especially if you know they're going to be gone for a bit, just film ahead.
Yeah.
Why did Amber need to be here for this in the first place?
Exactly.
Like, I don't understand that. The reason we sat here where nothing was happening, where nobody was allowed to achieve anything, nobody was allowed to actually get anything done, is because they wanted Amber to be here for the climax. But I don't know why Amber needed to be here for the climax. This isn't even Amber's story.
No.
You know, like, I like Amber. You guys know that. I like Amber. I love Beth. I have no problem with her being here. But the fact that this is just proof that we've literally been just wasting time until she could return and be here for this climax doesn't make sense to me, because she wasn't necessary for this story. This wasn't even her battle, you know? This was the Mallrats' battle. This was their mess. They are the ones who had to fix it. This was their hero's journey. I don't know why we had to wait for Amber for them to be able to complete their journey. I can understand, like, you know, you need to send her away. You need a reason. She's going to go get fighters. You could have the fighters show up even without Amber. Just come up with another excuse as to why she couldn't make it back. Whatever, you know, she's avoiding Bray. That's believable. She's always avoiding Bray. So, like,
she's trying to find more.
Right. Just have new fighters trickling in, people she's convinced the whole time. And you could, like, add that to the rebel cause, and you could see them slowly breaking down the Chosen as they're causing mayhem in the city, and the Chosen can't keep up with it and stuff. But instead, we have been whittling our thumbs for Amber to come back, and this was never her story or her battle to begin with. It was Trudy's at the end of the day, you know? So, like,
yeah.
So it's like, if we were waiting for Trudy, fine. if that's who we were waiting for, I at least get that. This was definitely her story. But they don't let her do much anyway. So, like,
they still minimize her.
Right. So it's like, it just feels like the focus is on Amber. And what was the point?
Because, yeah, you're right. Amber doesn't actually do much either. I'm thinking ahead. Or Trudy's like, why did we wait so long for this?
They had to wait a month at least. So that Amber could come.
Like, when you think about, if you were watching these episodes like we do every week, you sat there, you'd wait half a year for Amber's freaking return. And all she could say is, I got people to agree to meet with us. Like, maybe somebody who'd actually dealt with the Chosen should have been the one recruiting these people then.
Maybe.
You know, because the whole setup was that Amber's the only one. Okay, she's the Jedi we need to convince people to fight in this war. Prydzel, she'll win this war for you. You know what I mean? And she doesn't even get a single affirmative in her journey.
She isn't even in a meeting.
Exactly. I'll get to that. But yeah, you couldn't have hit it harder on the nail, we were just wasting time waiting for Beth and Antonia to return. And it's like, okay, I get waiting for Antonia, but then you have to give her a bigger role because this is her story too, you know, and you don't really give her anything. You haven't even had a chance to sit with Trudy and see where her headspace is because you've just designated her as Mother of Brady and that's her only identity.
Mm-hmm.
And none of us even know if she's okay. Like, is she okay? None of us actually know if she's all right.
Is she ever?
We don't even get a single scene where we sit down with her and actually see what Trudy's thinking, how she's been. Like, you know what I mean? Nothing at all. Nope. I've been watching ahead and it really annoys me.
It's like her walking in the door and not screaming was the only information we were given that I guess she's back to normal. That's it.
Is it normal though for her?
Shut up. Stop it. She's not that hysterical.
I was going to say, well, she's not hysterical.
And it's like when I think about how bad the pacing has been this whole season, and then they're cramming everything into these next like two or three episodes. Mm-hmm. And like all that wasted time that could have been done. You realize later in this episode, there was a better story we could have been watching this whole time.
So much. Yep.
So yeah, it just doesn't have the impact it should have. We should be like, yes, but instead we're just like, finally.
Finally.
Get this over with.
Time to move on.
It's way past time. Yep.
Oh, and this is funny. I love how Pride brings up that he's actually concerned about how messed up the Guardian is, but still doesn't seem to care that he left all those people to deal with it.
Jeez Louise.
He threw Celine to the wolves.
Poor Celine. Okay.
He doesn't care.
Okay.
I know, I heard it, Maggie. You can't take it back now.
But yeah, and I even agree with that.
I'm going to say that. Yeah, I'm going to say poor Celine. I feel so bad for her. Honestly, this episode, I'm like, this is awful. This poor woman, this is the one episode. Like, this is what she's gotten herself into, and this, you know, this is where she is. And I have to feel sorry for her because what else can you do?
Hey, you made your bed, lie in it.
That's true. She is. And she is, but at the same time.
She deserved to get set up like this.
No.
Like, what the heck?
No.
Wow.
And to just literally, like, and he straight plays her, and it really shows a lot about him too.
How devious he can be,
you know. What's really messed up,
and how forgiving she is.
This is what makes it messed up. It's not just that Pride, you know, set Celine up to take such a fall and doesn't care that he did, even as he's telling Bray, dude, I don't know what he'll do, that guy's insane. Like, he doesn't care at all that you left Celine at the hands of an insane person. It's that it wasn't necessary for him to do this. He never needed Celine for this plan to work. Brady had a carer that was working with him. He and May didn't need Celine there. May could have been watching the baby, then her and Bray could have snuck out with that baby. It's not like we know the details of how they smuggled her out in a breadbasket. You know what I mean? Like, they didn't need to set up Celine to get baby out. He had someone who was already caring for the baby, working with the rebels, and trusted him, would have happily worked with him. None of the setup with Celine was necessary. Yeah, it's dramatic, blah, blah, blah. But it's like
it hits her in her hardest time.
Right. You deliberately screwed her over when you never needed to, Pride. and you do not care.
Yeah. Like, and May and Pride could have just ran off together like they did anyway.
Exactly.
No collateral damage.
None.
No collateral damage. And Celine, how can Celine trust Pride from here on out? Trust Tysan? Tysan, the wit.
Yeah, we'll get there.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I'm going to just stop.
But yeah, I just, when he says it to Bray so casually, you know, because Bray wasn't in on this plan, remember, because Bray didn't have any. He didn't have any plans, okay? And he probably wouldn't have done something like this because he has shown concern for how the others would be affected if they struck the Chosen too hard. He keeps bringing it up. What about the others? What about those at the mall? What do you think will happen to them? So he probably wouldn't have been on board with a plan like this. So when he's talking to Pride, like, he's happy that Pride did this, but Pride just lets it slip. Oh yeah, he's insane. I think he's a nutcase. Bray even looks at him like, wait a minute. You know, how crazy do you think he is? Do you think the others are in danger? Like, Pride don't care. Pride don't care. Okay.
The only defense I have for Pride in this moment is he doesn't know the Mallrats like everybody else knows the Mallrats. The Mallrats are just these people that, yeah, they're associated with Bray and Amber, right? And he should, but they're not his people. His people are the guy. I don't think he'd do that to a fellow guy.
I'm just pointing it out that it's still awful. Really messed up.
It's so bad.
And it's never addressed. It's never part of his character. No. And it really ought to be. I'm just saying, it really ought to be in his cliff notes of his character.
Just think about this later on. He did this to Celine, and yet Celine... Celine goes after him.
Oh, he goes after her.
Yeah, well, but...
And I don't know.
I'm just like, wow, that's so casual. Like, there's just too much information happening here, and there's just no time for us to think about it and have to sit with it. It's just glossed over. All of this stuff is just glossed over. Like, there's a lot happening here. I mean, wish we had better pacing. I really do.
No, there's no pacing.
And yeah, to finish that opening off, what did you, do you remember thinking about, what did you initially make of the detachment on display here between Amber towards Bray? And did you jump to any conclusions?
Thought she was dumping him again for some reason.
Yeah.
I really did.
I don't know. Something happened. She decided that it's better that they're not together because she's going to leave again. Some stupid thing like that, you know?
Yeah. Something like, I realize I don't want to be in the city.
Break his heart now instead of later. Yeah.
Just kind of hoping there would be some depth to their relationship. Like, yeah, you know, their emotions were high when they got back together. Emotions were high when they were separated, you know, and even though I still think it was all really, really stupid that she was angry at him for months because of something a known liar who clearly wanted his junk said to her.
Liar, yeah.
And she held that grudge for ages and then has the nerve to still be mad and she's like, whatever, fine. Emotions were high. And then they get back together. And it's literally right after her childhood bestie dies. And she's trying to escape. She's trying to run away from all these feelings. And they find comfort in each other in a beautiful stormy night. Fine. I was actually hoping that this was going to be, like, have some depth where she's had time to think about whether she even wants to be with him, if he's the one, you know, and maybe regrets jumping the gun.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe she regretted breaking up with Pride. He's more capable and actually makes decisions. And I just wanted something, you know, like I actually wanted something. I didn't actually think anything had happened between she and Pride during his brief dropping off of Trudy. Cause he wasn't there long enough. You know what I mean? I was like, nah, that happened too fast. You know, he literally threw Trudy out of the van. Yeah. He didn't even park it. He was just like,
ciao
and took off. So I was like, I don't think anything happened between she and Pride, but I think she's second guessing this relationship. And I was hoping that would be it. Cause it would add something to them as a couple, as people. And like, maybe I rushed back into our relationship too fast or, you know, just something. Or maybe she's regretting getting involved in any of this in the first place. So I was kind of like, she doesn't want to be with them anymore.
Yeah.
And we know that she's not good at breaking up with people. So
no, she goes with them pretty well.
Pretty much. They have to break up with her. They have to do leaving because otherwise she just disappears. That's how she ends a relationship. I did feel a little bad for him, though, noticing this distance and being like, what the heck's going on? I thought you'd be happy to see me. Yet again, she's not happy to see him. Like, this is a track record here. of every time they're separated, you can see on Bray's face, like,
should have been a warning sign.
He's thrilled, you know? You know, he, like, the journey to Eagle Mountain, he's escaped Ebony, yeah, and he's happy to see her, and she's pissed, and he's like, what'd I do? You know, he finds her after thinking she was dead, and he's happy to see her, and she's pissed at him. And so here they go again, separated all this time, and he's been just trying to keep things together and not let Devil get in the way for her, and she's not happy to see him again. I was like, dude, I mean, it's a pattern at this point, man, like...
She's just not that into you, Brady.
She's just not that into you.
Yeah.
Please, Guardian, I had nothing to do with it. They tricked me.
Who?
The Tai Chi Master Pride and Tai San.
What are you saying, Celine?
You're afraid now, aren't you? Afraid that what you say next may decide your fate. That's good. Take your time.
Yeah, panel, what do you make of the blame game on display here? Tyson's attempts to keep control of the situation. And when did the Guardian or the Chosen need a trial?
Tyson tried. I mean, she tried. She tried to cover. She tried to fix problems she created, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
She did try to backtrack, but it didn't work.
All right, I'll point out the positives.
Okay, go.
The positives, I think the ideas in here are great. There are actually some really good moments. That moment when Tyson gaslights Celine to her face, ouch, I felt that in my gut. Like, if you were Celine in that moment, oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Like, you know she's lying. And you're like, oh my, do you hate me that much? Are you serious? I know I suck, but have I ever done anything to you personally? Jeez, Tyson, like
punishing her again.
Yeah, that would hurt. That would hurt. That moment, and Tyson does it so well. She's so cool and indifferent as she's just like, I'm sorry, what were you saying, Celine? And the power dynamic there, fantastic. Because Celine has none of it.
Nope.
She has no power. She's terrified. And she's innocent. This is a very scary situation to be in. And Tyson holds a lot of cards here. And yeah, she has a reason for what she's doing. And of course, she's always intended in trying to protect Celine as much as she could. But she has this role to play. Celine is not aware of that. So that's a cool moment. I love that. I wish they had done something with that later, showing that how that dynamic has skewed she and Tyson's relationship forever, or Celine's relationship with anybody forever. You know what I mean? Like, but they don't do anything with it, unfortunately, but on its own, good moment. I love the idea of this happening, the way Celine ends up taking the fall. But aside from those few positives, even, you know, Jaffa, like, he's talking like a crazy person. Every conversation with him is completely circular. You can't use logic. You can't use reason. You can't even show the guy proof. He's not listening. He's just talking to hear himself talk and answering himself. You know what I mean? Like, that's all great. But it's the details of how all of this is set up that are bad for me and lower its impact. Just the fact that, you know, Celine finding that the baby's gone, cool, all that stuff. But it's how... What is Tally doing there? I get it. They wanted Tally to have something to do. But again, isn't this supposed to be the divine child's special place? Why are there no chosen guards up here? Anybody can walk into this room and you're surprised she disappeared? Anybody can walk in here. Your slaves are just wandering in here and you're surprised that the baby's gone? You left her in the hands of an unstable acolyte who never committed to Zoot. Like, you're surprised that you lost the baby when no one's watching the baby. And so I hate that setup of how it's just the three of them searching for the baby in an empty mall. Where are the guards? Like, what is going on here? And only suddenly the Guardian wants to see the Divine Child. When was the last time he saw the Divine Child? When was the last time he cared about her existence? I hate the setup of it so bad, the way it plays out to get us into this place where these three people are held responsible, because it's just like, but there are some good ideas, but overall the packaging is, it's bad. It's bad packaging.
Yeah. I guess this is honestly one of the few times I felt sorry for Celine.
Yep.
Because, I mean, she brought most of her problems on herself, but this was just cruel. And to have her standing there, knowing she didn't do anything wrong, and getting told, getting gaslighted like that.
Yeah.
And it's just... I mean, absolutely, she had a lot of things coming, but, you know, karma's evil, but, yeah. And then Tally, that poor little girl who just finds herself in the wrong place at the wrong time. It kind of feels to me like they're making Tally sort of replace Patsy. Because had that been Patsy, it would have made sense for her to, you know, to walk into that room at all. So it kind of feels like they're trying to push her into that role whilst forgetting that Tally never joined the Chosen.
I think it's interesting that Celine focused more on Tysanne's part and not Pride's, which I just thought that was interesting that I'm not going to dog her for her frightened, frazzled state of mind right now. Because Celine is, in this moment, I think she's also concerned about Brady. Like, she's actually genuinely concerned that the baby disappeared, not just, oh, what will happen to me, but I think she actually cares about the baby. And part of it's just because it's an emotional bandage for her looking after Brady. That's, you know, part of what she found solace in caring for Brady. And it's the one thing she could do, especially dealing with this wound of just losing her own. And so losing that that's got to be really traumatic for her. Just what happened to her. So I do think there's genuine concern on that part as well as the fear. So I'm not going to get on her case for not being able to think of a better argument in defending herself with Jaffa. But I just think it's interesting that she barely emphasizes that it was Pride who lost the baby.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, she seems to really believe that Tysanne was a part of this. And it's like, Pride is the one who came in and told you he'd watched the baby while you went and did something. Clearly, Pride took the baby. I don't know why you think Tysanne's involved and why you're focusing so much on trying to convince the Guardian.
Because Pride...
I know that. What I'm saying is, in that given situation, Pride comes in and says, oh, this, you know, the Supreme Mother would like to see you. Pride is the one who was watching the baby. Why are you not more focused on the fact that he clearly tricked you and took the baby, or at least just took advantage of this situation? Why do you immediately assume that because Tysanne called for you, that she's involved, and you're trying to convince this crazy nutbag who's obsessed with her and would keep her in his pocket if he could get away with it, that she's to blame when you should be focusing on the Tai Chi master? I'm just saying, like, he's the one. He's the one. He was the last person to be seen with his baby.
He was nice to her.
He was nicer, and on the other, and besides that, she knows it's very difficult to point the blame to someone who's not there.
A wise move. It was not well played, Celine. I hate to break it to you. And again, I'm not blaming you. You're not in your right headspace. This is a very scary situation. But I just think it's weird that you're more focused on blaming Tysanne than the literal guy you left with the baby. It's actually easier to blame someone who isn't there because they can't defend themselves.
They can't, but, you know, the Guardian will want to punish someone for this.
Oh, but I'd be like, dude, go look for Tai Chi Master. You can't find him. Guess what? He clearly took the baby. I trusted him. That's my bad. I get that. But I didn't take the baby. You know what I mean? The guy told me the Supreme Mother needed me, and he took advantage and stole the baby. Go find out who he was working with. I'm just thinking, like, even now, a penis is that important to Celine.
I mean, I was going to say, when was the last time Celine blamed a guy for anything?
That's what I'm saying. I'm just like, why are you not more focused on the literal person you left the baby with?
The last time she blamed a guy was probably Ryan.
And no, I don't know why there's a trial. It's more time wasting. I can't even. The time wasting in this episode. But yeah, it's just, it's a doomsday clock. That's all. It makes no sense that he would say there's going to be a trial. Like, when has he ever?
Has he ever?
Never. Ever.
The only reason he could possibly have for having that trial is
he doesn't need it.
He's never used one.
But the only thing the only reason he could possibly have for that, other than being totally crazy, is the fact that he knows a lot of his guards actually respect Luke.
I don't buy it. I don't buy it. I don't buy it for a second.
This is nothing more than they respect the truth.
No, I don't buy it at all. This is not, it's not there. This has nothing to do with character. This is bad writing. It's just they wanted a doomsday clock. They wanted a ticking clock. They wanted to amp up the tension, but it doesn't work. Because this man would burn you at a pyre the minute he decides you're guilty. He's the one who decides. He does not care. He knew how much people cared about Trudy and the Chosen. He knew it. He sold Trudy on them for Pete's sake. He knew and had no problem condemning her to death. He was careful how he couched it because he knew how much she meant to the Chosen. But he knew. But he didn't give her a trial because he thought, oh, they respect her. Nah, he is not doing this because he thinks anyone respects Luke. It's just bad writing. It has nothing to do with his characterization. It's just dumb. Sorry, that came across very aggressive. I apologize. This episode just got me heated.
I hate it. I hate the whole concept. I don't know why they had to put that in there. And it makes it even worse what happens to Luke later. Like, you didn't need a trial. This was just stupid and waste of time.
It would have made so much more sense to have that trial if Tysanne insisted on it.
Yeah, if she had said something, yeah.
Yeah, like, you could still have some of the moments where they have dumb conversation that they do, where, like, Luke is arguing his point, but it should have been just a done deal for him deciding to have all three of them executed or something. You know what I mean? Like, and then, you know, change his mind, because that's Jaffa, but the trial, like, what? Give me a break. This man has never given anybody a fair trial. Because he can't control the narrative. If you have a chance to defend yourself, are you kidding me? He doesn't do that sort of thing. He likes controlling the narrative. Put you in a cage, and then he goes and tells everybody his side of the story, and why you're wrong, why you're guilty, you know, so that your cries will fall on deaf ears. That is how he operates. A trial just gives you a chance to speak. Like, what? No. He'd never do this. He never has done this. The trial is so, like, they can drag out the nonsense that's happening with the rest of the Mallrats here, which we'll get to.
Yes.
But do we want them to instantly execute Celine?
No.
No, that's not what I'm talking about. I'm not saying I want these guys to die. I'm saying that that's what he would do, and then they would drag that out. They'd be put in a cage, like Trudy was put in a cage.
Yeah, I was about to say, even if they execute, they could still put in a cage, and the same thing as all happened is normal. But
you'd still have it interrupted and stopped and stuff, but his decision would be, you're to be executed, put him in a cage, blah, blah, blah. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then, of course, then you can have the shenanigans where, you know, they are rescued or saved, or his mind is changed or something. But the point is, he would decide to have them killed.
May, I just want to thank you for...
I didn't do it for you, Trudy. I did it for myself. I need these guys to believe in me.
I see. I really don't care what happens to you.
I couldn't have put it better myself.
You too? Well, let me put it this way. You let me know when you're ready to leave, and I'll help you pack your bags.
See, a panel, a lot of mistrust and atmosphere is going on here. What did you make of it all?
I don't mind it.
It makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It would make less sense if everyone was just like, yay, Trudy's back. Like, come
on. Oh, cool.
It's cool.
Mm-hmm.
Bygones be gone. You know what I mean? Like, no, it wouldn't make sense.
No.
It, like, every, that moment with May, Lex, and Ebony, and Trudy realizing, oh boy, people still hate me, is good, but it is dragged down by the fact that the three people who are expressing their lingering anger at her are the worst people to be judging anybody.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That does drag it down because of who it is. Like, Ebony, really? Ebony, you're the reason she ended up with the Chosen in the first place. Every time you've judged Trudy, see this entire thing, I want to smack you, because it's like, why are you talking? You were the last person who has a right to say anything about how she turned out once you betrayed her to a bunch of crazy people in the woods. You know what I mean? Like, who worshipped her dead baby daddy. Like, give me a break. Shut up, Ebony. You know, Lex had more reason, like, has more legitimacy because, you know, they were supposed to be family. But at the same time, Lex, you treated her abominably, okay? And the reason she ended up with them is because you're an idiot who got caught on the beach. Like, give me a break. And then May, really? Did anyone really care how May felt about Trudy? So them being able to express that people would feel this way about Trudy is good, but because of who they are, you're just like, shut up, all three of you. And Trudy, why should you care what any of these people think about what you did to survive and what happened to you? Like, it's got that problem. Like, there's, I'm glad people are expressing that they're still upset with Trudy, but the people who are doing it are the wrong people to express that they're still upset with Trudy. You know, a scene that does it better is in the future when she sees Jack again, and Jack has just found out how all these things have changed. He finally makes it home.
Yes.
He finds out his best friend is dead and is thinking of the way he treated Dal, how things were left off with Dal. He's finding out that his girlfriend doesn't seem to be that, you know, things are off with her. And Trudy's like, hey, how are you? And he's not happy to see her because he's thinking, this is all your fault. Jack was a good person to express that lingering anger. You know what I mean? Because Jack never did anything to Trudy, you know, like in that way. And he isn't the type of person who would betray his tribe or anything like that. And so you can see it has way more impact when he tells her. And she's like, Jack, she defends herself. I was kidnapped just like you. And he's like, yeah, the difference is you fell for their garbage. I didn't, you know? And again, I'm not saying it's fair, but it works better when you have someone like Jack say it to her than when you have someone like Lex or Ebony or frickin' May calling her out. Even though I love when May's like, I didn't do it for you. I needed these guys to trust me. I don't care what happens to you. You are something else, May.
I just love how honest May is.
It feels very May, though.
Yeah.
So, May, I don't care what happens to you. And you sucked. You were terrible to me when I was your handmaiden.
It reminded me of the scene with I would have done it for a dog.
Yeah, you know, so
yep.
It's got its ups and downs. I wish there had been other people who could have told her how they felt. But unfortunately, these are the only people that we know who knew Trudy who are in the Rebels. And we already know Bray has moved on and he's not going to say it to her. We already know that, you know, Amber is Team Trudy, you know, so who else is going to say it? Someone needed to. So these are the only people available to say this, even though they're not the best people to be saying it.
No, but they're all we have right now.
Exactly. It's just what we got. I do like the conversation between Lex and Bray. It's very in character for Lex because he's dealing with whatever his emotions on. He likes to push those onto other people. When he's feeling negative about something, he wants to make sure you feel negative too. So it felt very in character that since he's brooding about stuff, he wants to make sure that Bray's brooding too. So he points Bray's attention towards something that's questionable. He's not entirely wrong, but it's just a Lex thing to do, you know? It's not even the time for it. And it's just because Bray is calling him out, you know? And so he redirects, like, instead of calling me out of my attitude, why don't you look at your girl?
It's, I know you are, but what am I?
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
So I like it just because it's a very Lex moment and it, you know, at least it's story-wise, it draws attention to the fact that Bray has noticed that Amber's avoiding him, but she's very happy to be reunited with Pride. That's questionable, so that's cool. And that leads to, you know, so I like that. And I actually really love the argument about whether Trudy should go to the tribe meeting. I love what Bray says when he's like, do you want me to tell these people that they're supposed to just forgive and forget? I can't do that, Amber, and neither can you. I loved that. One, again, I'm glad that Amber is in Trudy's corner. That's awesome. I'm really glad she's there. But you weren't there for what happened, okay? She didn't betray you. You didn't have to go through that. You didn't have to watch your world crumble down because of her actions. You didn't have to feel that betrayal. I can't tell people to just get over it, okay? We are in this madness because of what Trudy did. Even if Trudy was, you know, had justifiable reasons for what happened to her, it does not change that her actions got us here.
Yeah.
She does have blood in her hands. A whole city fell because of it, you know, because we trusted her. So I can't tell people to just forgive her. And then he makes an executive decision. she's coming with us. Keep an eye on her, and she's one of us, and that's that.
And at the end of the day, that was the smartest decision he could make.
Don't know why Amber doesn't go to the meeting. I might have missed it when I was watching the episode. Did she give a good reason?
Tired.
He's tired. So tired from the long journey that he made with Trudy.
I must have missed that. I don't know why.
I understood when she was annoyed because, you know, they're fighting about Trudy. But if you're this protective of Trudy, wouldn't you want to go to make sure that Trudy wasn't attacked at this meeting or something? It's just weird that she just doesn't go. And it's like, then why did you get involved in all of this in the first place? You just spent weeks, maybe a whole month or more, because time doesn't mean anything in season 3 anymore. And talking to all of these tribe leaders all over the countryside. Apparently you had, you know, connections nobody else had. You were the only person who could do it. And you got them to agree. You couldn't convince a single person to join you in the fight, but you got them to agree to a meeting on this specific day. Wow. I mean, what are the odds? I mean, and you're not going to go to the meeting? What is...
I don't know why. I really don't know why she didn't go. I was just saying she was tired.
I mean, I'd love it if that was the reason. No, I'm exhausted. I got jet lag. Screw this.
I'm tired, bro.
This is your fight.
I did my part of the job. I'm going to go take a nap now.
I only did my part of the job because I needed to avoid you while I dealt with my emotions, you know, and I'm still trying to avoid you. So now you convince the fighters to fight. You know, I would have liked a little depth there, you know, like I wasn't able to
figure it.
Right, exactly. Just what if she didn't want it because she had tried to convince one person after another to fight with them and she didn't have the words for it? What if she was just like, look, this isn't my fight. I wasn't here for this. I don't know that much about the Chosen. They need to talk to someone who's been fighting the Chosen. If you want to convince them to fight with you, you're the best person to do it or something. Yeah.
Nah.
I'm tired, not today. Bray. Okay.
I'm not
tired. I'm not feeling it. Or did the writers think that they couldn't let Trudy's moment shine if Amber was there? Like
oh, no.
Probably.
I bet they did it to fight temptation because we know that Amber is the writer's favorite character, okay?
Mm-hmm.
I guarantee, like, somewhere, they knew that if Amber had been there, they would have given her the great speech that convinces everybody.
Yep.
They nixed her from the meeting to fight the temptation to give her the moment.
We're guarding this mall now. That means that the rules have changed. Do you understand?
So yeah, very sudden, but what did you make of the deserting Chosen members, the sudden introduction of this new elite type of guard, and how do you feel about the captive Moratz's situation?
Excuse me while I go mute my screams of fury.
I totally get the deserting Chosen. You know, it's the Divine Child's gone, and Luke, who was their lieutenant, who they, you know, followed on what he told them, has been, well, locked up. And, you know, I think a lot of them realized, okay, if he's not safe, then none of us are safe.
Yeah.
And they just went, okay, getting out of here while I still can.
When I think of all the time that we haven't seen the Chosen's point of view.
Yes.
Okay? With all of these changes happening, you could have been leaving breadcrumbs about Chosen desertion and Chosen doubt ever since Trudy was supposed to be executed. Okay? And you're going to tell me that these guys have been on board with every single one of Joffa's decisions, including trying to kill the woman that Zoot literally impregnated, right? And replacing her with a slave who doesn't believe in any of this. He lets slaves babysit the Divine Child. He's burning villages to the ground, apparently. Like, I want to see that story. Yep. You're going to tell me that these Chosen are such a monolith that it's literally not until the baby disappears, it's not till the last 48 hours of the Chosen being in charge that they decided, you know what? I've had enough. All of them, every single one, this was the moment for them. It was the baby. That was it. Like, you're telling me there wasn't any other Chosen, any other time who had enough doubts to say, I'm leaving? All the desertions are going to happen now? Like,
yeah, literally.
What?
This was definitely, this is a bit much. moment.
I'm so glad you brought this up, Liz, because I was going to rant. This is so stupid. How can you, all of a sudden now, after everything that's happened, now all of a sudden, oh, we're going to get the Chosen done in two episodes. That's it. Now everyone's deserted. Like, done. Come on. You had so many good instances where they could have done. Yeah, everybody, literally.
It's a wrap.
Literally, everyone gets pushed away. And here's the new guards. Okay, thank you. So many opportunities.
You could have been using Chosen desertion just because, just to explain why we never see any Chosen guards. I swear, like,
yes, yes.
These Chosen extras, what kind of pay rate do you have them on? Because there are days when they're all there in the mall and then they're nowhere to be found. You could have been using that to the after every major faux pas that Jaffa makes as an underlying current this whole time. But instead you kept trying to tell us, no, the Chosen are super powerful. They're bringing in, they're attacking villages and forcing pregnant women from them to join us. And all of a sudden, just mass desertion. Because how did you find out Brady was missing?
Mm-hmm.
How did this even get out? Jaffa certainly wasn't going to tell anybody. How did it get out that Brady was even missing? It's not like the Chosen watch her. So how did they even find out? Like, how would they even notice she was gone? They're never around her room. Jaffa found out she was gone. Jaffa's the only one who knew she was gone. So how did it get out into the city that you have desertions everywhere? Also, how did these four Mallrat slaves find this out? How are they getting this information of all this desertion and doubt happening out in the city? Are you, what?
Psych.
Getting the information.
Then we have been gaslit by the writers.
Chosen occupation has been an exercise in, wow, I don't even have the words of what they've tried to make the Chosen be. They've just tried to have their cake and eat it too. And they try to tell us that the Chosen are just this all powerful, all encompassing. But then just the way they film life in the mall proves otherwise. You know what I mean? And it's contradictory. That is the Chosen occupation. It's a complete contradiction. You can't have this kind of madness and chaos in the mall and make me believe that the Chosen have control of anything anywhere else when they literally cannot control the mall, right? You can't make me believe it, you know? And oh my gosh, tell me as a writer that you're sick of this storyline without telling me you're sick of the storyline, you know?
It's bad. It's bad. Yeah. Do better.
And then it's just these last 24 hours in the mall, just the things that people are saying are so asinine and it's so upsetting. Like the line of, wow, this place is completely sealed up. That implies it wasn't before.
Maybe we really should get out now.
Maybe we should really get, it's time to go. The conversations, the opportunity to just get the frick out of this mall. And they never took it.
At least they confirm that they were just too lazy to leave.
I swear to God, like, he says, Casey, you're free. I don't need you anymore. And what is Casey? He smiles. This is confusing to me. It implies, that smile says, that's what Casey's been waiting for. His freedom. Casey, you have had an opportunity to be free this entire time, and you've never taken it because apparently you didn't want to leave your friends. Even though you've got friends out there that you could join, you've never taken the freedom to just walk the frick out of this mall. I mean, even though you're always outside of it and selling merchandise, you've never left. So what does it matter if he gives you your freedom now? You clearly never wanted to leave, Casey. Who cares if the Guardian has just freed you? You're not gonna leave, because he doesn't. He doesn't leave. He tells the I'll give him props. He warns the others that the Guardian is losing it. That was nice of him.
Mm-hmm.
But it means nothing, because he doesn't take this freedom and do anything with it. He doesn't leave. He doesn't go to warn the rebels or, you know, what's going down, take this opportunity. And he doesn't even give an excuse as to why he's not leaving. So the freedom moment means nothing. It doesn't matter that he's been freed. So that's stupid, you know? Even when Jaffa, he's convinced and he's like, fine, the prisoners can go free. up until then, we had this excuse. Like, Casey tells them he's losing his mind. And so there's like, we got to get out of here.
Really?
Sorry.
Mm-hmm.
We got to get out of here. But then everyone has an excuse as to why they're not going to leave. You know, Ned's like, I'm not leaving my sister. Ellie's like, I don't want to leave Luke. But then the prisoners are gone free, except for Luke. And so now it's only Ellie who has a reason to stay here. I don't want to leave Luke. These guys waste so much time having stupid conversations that they deserve to be trapped. They deserve to blow up in the small.
Mm-hmm.
All of them. I don't feel sorry for any of them because they had 48 hours to get the frick out of this place before the Praetorian Nazis came in. And yeah, I don't care. I don't care about their fates. I don't care about any of them. Die, all of you. Die of fire. Every single one of you. I don't care. You're so stupid.
Boo.
So first Bray on Eagle Mountain. And now we're here.
Blow them all up.
Oh, wow.
I've had enough. They don't care about their freedom. They don't care. They pay lip service to caring about their freedom. Kill them all.
And people call me the crazy chosen fan.
Oh, I've had enough. I'm done. I'm sick of it. So these guys don't want to be free. They never wanted to be free. They've just looked for excuses not to get the frick out of this place. And now they act like it's impossible, which implies it was possible before. You just didn't want to go. You were like, all my stuff is here. I just didn't want to leave.
But my bed's here.
Now we should think about getting out of here. Screw all of you. Every single one of you. I hate you.
At least, Ned, I can appreciate the fact that he says I'm not leaving my sister.
I don't care. They've done nothing with Ned. You can't suddenly make me care. I don't care. Why don't they just leave Ned? I
don't... We'll get to Ned later in another episode.
Ned can be like, I'm not leaving my sister, but why should the others care about that? None of the others like Ned. They don't give a crap about Tally and Andy. They should still be trying to get out. Screw Ned. Like, you could stay. You can't have Ned set up as sometimes caring about his brother and sister and not care. You got to be consistent with this stuff. And they're never consistent with whether Ned cares about his brother and sister. They had opportunities. They didn't take them.
If they would have at least shown that, okay, someone like Alice would care about little children being left with someone that dangerous, then I could get behind it. But see, true, Patsy and Chloe to the wolves, so, meh.
Tutored her sister into danger. Like, yeah, I don't care about any of these people now. I don't care what the Guardian does to them, because they have had an entire season to try escaping, and they just never show these guys trying to get out of here. It's all it would have taken is a few scenes where they try to get out, they get caught. You see them scrubbing floors after. You know what I mean? Just show it's a consistent thing. They're trying to get out of this place. But they never try to get out after the first few episodes. They never try to leave. They don't take the opportunity to leave. You know, they want to be here. So this sudden urgency because of a doomsday clock, because the Guardian is descended into madness, doesn't matter to me.
Yeah. Absolutely. It's jumping ahead a bit, but it frustrates me because we've had 20 episodes of Ned saying, I'm not going anywhere. I'm right where I want to be. And all of a sudden, we'll see him trying to escape. And it frustrates me to no end. They can't decide whether they want to stay or leave.
It's because the writers didn't want to put the work in to show why they couldn't get away. They just kept presenting these characters with the ability to escape. And never gave good reason as to why they weren't taking it.
Yeah.
Like Sabine pointed out in the last episode, when, you know, they're all given an opportunity to leave. And Ellie's excuse is, I'm not a street fighter. It should be you, sis. You don't need to be a street fighter to go find the rebels. You know what I mean? Like, these are the lamest reasons to stay here. Even Casey, I've got a good gig here. So why would being freed from the Guardian now matter? You know what I mean? You wanted to stay.
He wanted to stay, and now he's a free elf. It's
like, oh my gosh. So no, I don't care
We're
about
so
any
close.
Of this.
We're so close, Liz. So close.
And yeah, before we move on, what did you make of the new guards?
Okay.
Whatever.
Where have you guys been?
Where have they come from?
Oh,
why are they like dressed almost like locos? Like, what did you make?
The hockey uniforms? Well, you didn't like the hockey uniforms?
What makes them better?
The Praetorian Guards could have been something cool, especially if you laid the groundwork for their existence ahead of time. But it means nothing once again. Nothing. We've already seen what the guards are like in this mall, okay? So,
oh, they are deaf and blind, unfortunately.
They are deaf and blind and rarely ever around, okay? And,
yeah.
And so bringing in these Praetorians to up the ante, I'm like, what? You mean they can hear? Like, what is so threatening about these guys? They use their senses? Like, I don't see what's so scary about them. You want to know what I thought was scary about The Chosen? It was back in season two, okay? The silent fanaticism of a bunch of kids wearing robes. They were freaking terrifying. There was something genuinely scary about those kids chanting over a baby, over a crying mother begging to be freed and staring right through her. They were scary. These guys, nothing.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing threatening about them. Now, if The Chosen had been consistent throughout the season and we saw that they were onto our mall rats whenever they tried to do something and that kept that tension of they could be caught by a chosen guard at any time, then maybe the Praetorian guards would be kind of scary. But given what we've seen, what a regular guard is, who gives a crap about the Praetorians? It just means you might have to lower your voice when you're expressing your secrets. Like, give me a break. And I don't care what they're wearing. They don't look scary. They don't look threatening. And where did they come from? They have no history. They don't matter. Now, if they had been set up as existing somewhere, you know, like we saw that his elite guards, he had them doing his elite things and we knew their existence and they'd been built up, we might feel something when they show up. But we find out one sentence that, oh, they've always existed. And I guess they were the ones off doing competent stuff. Like,
oh, I thought you were going to say competition. And I'm like, oh, that makes sense.
I there's so much they could have done with
competitions.
Them. They could be. I imagine if like you saw Danny as one of the Praetorians and you'd find out what happened to some of the tribe leaders. Like, wow. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm not saying they'd bring her back, but I'm just saying there's things they could have done with the Praetorians. But they think by saying, oh, those are the Praetorian guards, they're elite, the true believers. Like, that's supposed to scare us and up the ante for the danger our heroes are in. Yeah. And it's like, no.
Your true believers haven't scared me so far.
Yeah, but he should have at least shown them in the past, these guys are the ones guarding Trudy and the baby at first, you know? That would have made sense. Because why on earth wouldn't you use your best guards to make sure, you know, those who are safe?
Like, why weren't your best guards already here guarding your most precious...
Why weren't they on the front line? Yeah, I would assume they'd be on the front line. They'd be in to sweep them all, you know? Make sure that it was completely safe for Trudy and the Supreme Mother and the Guardian. Like, or maybe they're like the stealth operatives, okay? But now the Guardian has no choice and he has to pull them out of hiding. The CIA.
these are the guys that do the killing for them.
The term true believer is also contradictory. So you're telling me that the true believers were okay with you killing the Supreme Mother and replacing her with a slave and a non-believer and a heathen? The true believers were totally okay with all of the things you've been doing? The true believers should try to assassinate Jaffa. Wouldn't that be great if that's why the Praetorian Guards showed up? Is because they were like, we're imprisoning Jaffa. Like, what an ending that would be.
Maybe that's why they just let him do what he does in the next episode or whatever. Like, they're like, oh, well, he's just going to take care of himself. We'll let it happen.
And we'll stay here while we'll all die. Like, they're just words, you know? Mm. They don't mean anything. And they lost the opportunity to give any of this meaning. It's too late now.
Yeah.
Too late.
There is no hope.
I don't care. How do you feel about the captive mallrat situation? Don't care. Did I mention they can all die in a fire? Maybe.
Yeah, no, you did. You did.
I feel.
You did. Man, seems like every handful of episodes, you feel like someone should die in one way or
it's
another.
It's true. Maggie, you do tend to show up when I'm condemning someone to death.
For real, it seems like that. It's fine. I feel fine. I feel safe.
That's what you bring out in her. You know that, right?
Yeah, I do, actually. It's fine.
But if we go on just staying afraid, we will never win.
Maybe the Guardian will destroy himself. I don't know. But what I do know is that if we're not united on this, another just like him will rise all over again to feed on that fear. Is that what you want for yourself and your kids? We are not just here to fight in a war, but for the peace that will come after it. This is our chance, here and now, and it may never come again, to make a future, to be free, or to stay afraid.
So yeah, what did you make of this meeting and Trudy's intervention?
I get why these leaders are scared. I mean, just look at them. A couple of them have been condemned to death earlier by the Guardian. We don't want leaders. They've seen what happens when you go against them. Because, you know, apparently Danny's dead somewhere.
Who?
yeah, exactly. And somehow these leaders made it out alive. So yeah, I kind of get why they don't want to go against him again, because that could, you know, kill you. But I'm just so happy with the fact that obviously Brave speaking to them is not going to do any good. I'm just happy to see Trudy stepping in. Because clearly that girl has learned something about speaking to a crowd while with the Chosen. Sure, the first time she spoke to a group of people was to convince them not to underestimate the power of the Chosen, even though she was one of them. But yeah, I find it fitting that she is now the one once again addressing this crowd and getting them to join in.
Great. This should have been Trudy's moment, so I'm really glad that it was given to her to convince these people to fight, especially when she's talking about letting fear control you, you know, and she's a bigger person than I am. Because if Ebony had spoken up to me while I'm giving my big speech, I would have drop kicked her with the truth of, you're the reason I even ended up with these people. So shut the hell up. I swear to God, midget from hell. You know what I mean? Like, I would have gone, she is a way better person than me. I'm glad she kept her eye on the ball and just stayed focused. She didn't lay blame on anybody, you know, didn't try to explain herself, because they don't want to hear that. They don't want to hear excuses from her, you know? She handled that like a pro. What frustrates me about this scene is, in this scene alone, we hear all the better Chosen storylines we should have been watching, rather than being locked in the mall all season. Except for the one little Hercules episode we got to go with the puppet show and the pregnant mothers. And like, that was the only time we got to really go out into the world and see how the Chosen were affecting other people. Like, all of these stories of these people and what they're telling us of what they have suffered at the hand of the Chosen, literally just recently. Why weren't we seeing those stories? Chosen burning down villages? And why weren't we watching that? Why were we stuck in the mall this whole time? Like, seriously. And just, the rebels are just living their best lives on the docks, you know, and this is what everybody else has been, and you want me to believe that this is what the Chosen have managed to do, when I've seen the city. I've seen the way people live in the city. You know what I mean? Everybody's just chilling under the Chosen rule, and only now do you throw out some sentences about their tyranny. But you never bothered to put that in the story and let us see their tyranny.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it gets to a point where it's like, do you even care that the Chosen are in charge? No, it's just that there are four people who can't leave the mall, who are on house arrest, and they want to get out. Like, that's what the story literally has become. Not that the Chosen are terrible people that we need to stop, but just like, we need to find a way to open the back door so a few people can get outside. Like, that's it. Like, that's all the story became. And here are all the better storylines that we never got to see.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think they focus so much on the Guardian and Tysan and that story within the mall that they didn't really have much time for anything.
Oh, they had time.
We had. Didn't they? Okay. They didn't have time.
They had plenty of time.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't choose to use it. No, we got to watch KC sell merchandise. That's what they used the time for.
They had to show us that Casey was still Casey. Yo, this kid's still doing this crap.
All the wasted time. And I could have watched them attacking villagers and scaring the pants out of people into subservience. You know, season two Chosen.
All right, we'll do it ourselves.
Could have seen all that, but instead I've been stuck in the mall with its bad lighting and it's melodrama and people who could leave at any time but never do. And now I'm supposed to believe that the Chosen have been tyrannical everywhere else but here.
Everywhere but where it mattered.
Exactly. Didn't get to see any of the other slaves. You know, just these guys who are living their best life in the mall. They got it good compared to everybody else. But they complain the most and do the least. This is who we had to follow.
That's often the case.
So, yeah, it's a double-edged sword for me because I'm like, it's nice to see you, Jet. You know, Ethan, you're a cutie. How you doing? You know, but I just wish those were the stories that we got to spend season 3 watching. That's what the Chosen were set up for, to be those kind of people. Yeah, I like Trudy's moment. I'm glad she had it. I mean, she won over people kind of fast, but whatever.
Oh, yeah.
We gotta wrap this up.
Let everyone know here, these people are innocent. I alone am responsible. Can't you all see it? He's mad. You're all being led by a mad prophet. Rise against him while you still can.
Go ahead, panel.
Once again, get out. You guys have the freedom to get out. Just go. He literally just freed you. Now get out. The excuses you had to not leave, they're not excuses anymore. Get out.
Nope.
But no, we're all going to stay because Ellie doesn't want to leave Luke. Luke, shut up. Shut up. The evidence that you guys didn't do anything has just come up in court, okay? Something that shouldn't exist. And you have to be dramatic as always.
He feels guilty for the stupid things he did.
I get that. It's comical. In the moment when he realizes the evidence of Tyson's dream, and you know he's going to be like, oh, okay, my prized possession was right. He's going to be cool with it. But no, Luke has to speak up in this moment. Just pause. Take a minute, Luke. Say no to drama just for 30 seconds, okay? It seems like the timing is just off. You know, like, I'd understand if he shouted out because in the moment, like, you know, the Guardian was condemning all of them. And of course, Luke shouts out to protect the other two. But he shouts out just as the Guardian has been given evidence that the three of them are innocent. And that's when Luke is like, it was me! Shut up! What's wrong with you? This is not the time.
Obviously, Ellie doesn't want to run off with him, so... Obviously, he just wants to get himself condemned.
Maybe this is the worst trial. I love the way they're all chained up with their hands above their heads. Poor mall rats. There's no chosen acolytes. There are no other slaves. It's like, who is this even for, Jaffa? Oh, this is so stupid.
Yeah, you're missing that water trial now, ain't it, Liz?
I am. I'm missing the water trial. This is so dumb. Oh my gosh, this setup is so ridiculous. I know why there's nobody there. All the Chosen deserted yesterday when Brady disappeared, right? They're all gone. It's bad. It sucks because what Luke is saying is actually pretty cool. You know, some of the things he's saying, like as he's talking to his fellow guards, you know what I mean? Those are really meaningful things that he's saying. It doesn't matter to us because we've never seen any Chosen's point of view except for Luke's. Could have mattered if we'd had the opportunity to see Luke's relationship with the other Chosen or seen how any other Chosen feels about anything, but they've been a non-existent entity. So, you know, Luke expressing these things about, you know, the fact that they should know him and, you know, blah, blah, blah. Again, it's a lot of words that could have been impactful, but they are not because they didn't do any work so that when these words happen and they have that meaning, they'd have that meat to them. And so that sucks because I do like what Luke is saying and, you know, trying to get people to see, but he's the only Chosen we've ever spent time with. So we have no idea how any other Chosen feels, except for a lazy line of dialogue about everybody, all the Chosen giving up because Brady's gone. You know what I mean? We don't know how they felt about anything. And we don't know how they felt about Luke. We don't know how they felt about each other. We don't know if the Chosen had actual camaraderie or loyalty to one another, you know, because we didn't get to spend any time with any of them.
It's actually kind of crazy. Like the Guardian's words, like they don't need Brady anymore. This should have been huge. This should have been a huge scene with a huge outcome. But no, that's it. One line. That's it. Move on. Wrap it up.
Stuff had been given more time to breathe. I think this could have been kind of cool, especially, you know, in expressing or exploring the fact that Jaffa lives in a kingdom of his own making. And so this, like, we know he loves a dramatic show. That has been consistent. Mm-hmm. He makes a big deal out of everything, you know? And so even though it doesn't make sense that there's a trial, because there shouldn't be one, you know, him making a big show about, you know, executing these guys, you know, and finding them guilty and telling everybody, but to such a small crowd, I actually kind of like that, because again, he's a legend in his own mind and can't see the reality of how few people believe in him. But they didn't, again, they didn't build up to any of this, so it doesn't mean anything, but it could have, you know. But that would have had to take consistency and forethought throughout the season. And I don't believe season 3 was forethought through at all.
Not even a little bit.
It was just random ideas that came into the writing room every week. This is what we're doing.
Here we are.
No idea where we're going.
It just surprises me that all the time, sometimes we do see other people, like when, you know, when Celine had her maternity class and everything, magically all those expecting mothers were in the mall. Where are they now? Nobody knows.
Like, if we had been given an explanation as to how the mall operates within the Chosen regime, that might have helped too. You know, like, again, it still makes no sense that the mall rats are being held here. Like, we know the only reason the mall rats are held here is because we don't want to leave the mall set, okay? And we don't want to, like, it's already hard enough to film a couple of spaces. So we know why the mall rats are here, but within the story, we don't really know why they're kept here and everybody else, all the other slaves, all the other acolytes come and go into the mall. Because what is the mall? Like, what is it to the Chosen? What do they use it for? You know, you can't just randomly make up lore and then contradict it constantly. You can't say in one episode that when people get arrested on the street, they're brought back to the mall, when we never see anybody else being brought back to the mall. We don't see other people being kept at the mall. Why would you bring this one random stray that you kidnapped because he was drunk and disorderly to the mall if you don't do that with everybody? They never gave the mall a reason or a purpose within the Chosen regime. It's the place where Zoot died, but we don't know how or why the Chosen actually utilize the mall. It's just Jaffa's penthouse for some reason.
It's not just the place where Zoot died. It's the place where the Divine Child was born.
The Divine Child that they don't pay attention to. Mm-hmm. They do not guard with their lives. You know, she was only useful when she was being used against her mother. She wasn't even kept in the same room with her mother. But as soon as her mother was gone, that became Brady's suite. An unguarded suite for the Divine Child. So it's just like, it's so messy. We get here and it's a cluster. It's a mess. And you feel like your time was wasted so much. Like, okay, the end of season 2 is a downer. And season 2 is difficult sometimes to get through because you have constantly watched these characters make dislikable choices. But by the time you get to the end, you understand why you were forced to sit through all of that.
Yeah.
It had a point. It was the momentum of the story all leading to this inevitable conclusion. All of those bad choices they made brought us here. So you didn't waste your time having to be tortured through it. I don't feel that way when we get to the end of the Chosen storyline. I feel like my time was wasted. I don't feel like they knew this is where they were going. Like, what a waste of a great buildup of an antagonist.
You're alive.
Ellie, we don't have much time. I want you to come away with me, now.
Away with you? Why?
Because I love you. Will you?
He can't have gone far. Find him.
Come on, we've got to hide you. Hurry.
So yeah, what did you make of Celine's plan, Luke's escape, and his declaration of love?
Celine.
We're just killing time so that these people can't leave. I'm fine with Celine trying to rescue Luke.
Like, yeah.
She, that's cool. It makes sense. She's desperate. She's got this desperate attachment to him and needs someone to take care of her. And he's a sucker, so why not him? And so I'm fine with that. And him trying to save her. I like him talking to guards and the letting him out. I even like the way it's revealed. Like, we don't know that the guards let them go until after. I think that's actually kind of cool. And then he reveals himself. You know, you have Ellie expressing why she won't leave. So we have another excuse for why the mall rats won't just get out of the mall while they have a breather. And then he reveals himself. He's been let out. Let's go! Ellie just be like, okay, we'll talk about this after we all get out. Let's go. You were the reason I was still here. Let's get the frick out of here. This is not the time. We don't need to have a sit-down discussion of whether or not she loves him or she's going to run away with him. I'd be like, yeah, I'll run away with you out of this mall. Let's go. All of us now. It's just excuses so they won't leave. I don't know why Luke didn't immediately just be like, let's go, Ellie. Let's go. Like, all of us. Okay, let's get the frick out of here. You guys are just finding excuses to not take the opportunity to get out of the building.
How many have we had in this episode alone?
I stopped counting. It's too frustrating. But yeah, it makes total sense for Celine to instantly try and help Luke because, you know, after everything, Luke at least said, no, they're innocent. It was me. It was me. And in that, in Celine's mind, he's saving her. And since he makes everything about herself, she will probably think he did that for her specifically. I mean, this
is Celine.
I don't
want to think about Celine and Luke, so...
Luke doesn't want to think about that either, so that helps.
Her attachment to him had a payoff, you know what I mean? But it made sense that she would be the one to try to get him out. Like, be that desperate, not care about getting caught. They built that up. I'll give them that. You know, I wasn't surprised when she shows up and she's just like, I'm getting you out of here. Like, okay, that works. You know, what are you doing, Ellie? You're so upset. You don't want to leave him. Even Ellie was like, I'm not that dumb. But I don't know why Ned isn't already gone. He didn't want to leave. He didn't want to try to escape because his sister, and now his sister is fine. He should be gone already. He should have already found a way to get his brother and sister out of the building. Like, he has no attachment to the others, so go. Get out, you know? These people aren't trying to leave.
Grab a guard.
Not today, it's raining.
But the beds here are just so comfy.
Apparently, yeah.
Like, things only just got serious. They haven't been serious this whole time. I swear, these guys are like, they're like frogs in boiling water, you know? Like, the situation was already sucky, and you complained about it all the time, but I never watched any of you try to escape the situation, despite having opportunity to do so. And
was it really all that sucky?
They talked about it, it was. According to them, it was the worst experience ever.
The worst experience of their lives.
But they didn't try to get out away from it at all.
I can kind of understand Ned not wanting to leave the mall, you know, in the beginning, because he's been out there. He's been on the road, struggling to get food and, you know, having to do stuff to get food to keep his brother and sister safe. And here in the mall, what do they have to do? Oh, they have to clean something sometime if the guards remember that they're there and they get fed and they have a roof over their head and it's dry, place to sleep. So I get that part. But Alice and Ellie, come on. Those girls had a farm to get back to.
I don't buy Ned liking it here because all he did was complain about it. And then the next minute he'd be like, oh no, I'm exactly where I want to be. Like,
but he complains about everything.
He's an inconsistent character right there. Like, he just doesn't make any logical sense. You know, he's just here to be an obstacle. That's all. He's just here to be a pain in the butt for everyone else to deal with, you know?
So that brings us to our final thoughts of the episode.
Well, it sounds great. And let me guess, you'll be leading the squads, right?
No, I'd like to, but I can't.
What do you mean?
I mean that because I don't just have myself to think of now. Barry, I'm pregnant.
Well?
Well, whose is it?
What? What did you just say?
Is it mine or Pride's?
Dom, you go ahead, Maggie.
I mean, mean, okay. All right. So for the last however long, you know, she's been gone, he's had Ebony and Lex in his brain saying, you know, Pride and her hooked up while she was gone. You know that it happened, right? So I understand his first, like, split reaction. But, like, he's so nonchalant about it. Like, you don't expect those words to come out of his mouth, right? And the only thing that's missing from this scene is her slapping him across the face as she storms out.
Mm-hmm.
That's the only thing I'm missing. Damn it, Bray.
I truly enjoyed that. Sorry.
It's the most logical thing he could have asked.
Yeah, I mean, I get it.
About it, these two, okay, forget about if Bray thinks that when he sent Pride to her, they hooked up. Forget that. Again, Pride was only gone for like 2 days. He didn't have time to hook up with her. He ended up at the mall. Okay, forget that. Bray and Amber never had a real discussion of what Amber and Pride ever really were. Pride, 1 minute, is sitting there literally saying, dude, she's my friggin' fiance. We gotta understand in here, okay? She's telling him, I trust him with my life, okay? Bray is in the dark about what that relationship really was. Heck, we're in the dark about what that relationship was. Mm-hmm. We get two different stories. I mean, for Pride, she was gonna be his life partner. And for her, you know, he was her rebound. You know what I mean? I don't think he realized that till Bray showed up again, you know? We're never given a solid, what was their relationship? Was it physical? Did they get it on? Like, we don't know what went on. So Bray doesn't know. He and Amber did not discuss anything of importance when they got back together. They didn't discuss any of their issues as to how they ended up separated in the first place. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
At this point, she has dumped him twice by ghosting him. All right. Not discussing it with him, not telling him she doesn't want to be his girlfriend anymore for whatever reason. And both times she dumped him was because she believed something about him that wasn't true. All right. She didn't even want to get the truth from him. So when she returns again and isn't happy to see him, but she's all smiles when she's around Pride, what is this guy supposed to think about their relationship?
Yes.
Okay. And so when she's like, I'm pregnant, but she doesn't seem happy to tell him, she's nervous. Now, granted, she has reason to be nervous to tell him. It's a scary thing to tell this guy. We barely just got back together. We haven't seen each other. And I discovered this, you know, nice aiming numbnuts, you know, and I get her being nervous, but I understand why he interprets it the way he does, that she's letting him down. She's about to tell him, I'm pregnant, you know, and it's Pride's, and I'd like to give that another try or whatever. Like, it just, and he just doesn't beat around the bush. Who's the dad? Which one of us is it gonna be, Amber?
Which one?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, man.
Like, he has...
I agree 100%.
He has every right to ask this question. She dumped Pride on the same day she and Bray got into bed together. What is he... She didn't even wash the sheet. I'm not... You know what I mean? Like, come on. What is he supposed to think? He has no idea what their relationship was. No idea. I even have a joke about Pride actually being the baby daddy. You know what I mean? Like, Bray, you are not the father. Like, no, I don't actually believe that, but I like to tease Brambers with that.
Oh no!
I like to tease them with that theory.
Liz,
so mean.
I have so much fun with that. Anyway, I just his thought process makes perfect sense to me. Now, I'm not saying
it really does.
I'm not saying he said it in the best way, but you've been ignoring him, Amber. You've been cold and distant to him, okay? And he's left holding the bag, wondering when am I getting dumped? All right. And now he thinks you're coming clean. Now, she has every right to be upset. Sure, she does.
Yeah.
But I'm not, like, upset at him for asking a very valid question. I'm like, who is the father, Amber? I'm curious, too. I don't even know if you had sex with Pride. I don't know, because you guys discussed nothing of importance.
Nothing.
And she and Pride had so much time together. Her and Bray only had one night.
Exactly. And again, she dumped Pride the same day he didn't even know what was going on with she and Pride when they were all in the city together before she left. He has no idea what was going on with them. He was just happy to be with her again. happy that she chose him.
He was too.
That's it. He was just happy.
Just so happy.
She chose him. I won. Yay. I have the love of my life back. Danny who? He was just thrilled.
Mm-hmm.
But he's had time to think about it and ruminate and stress about it and have all his insecurities held up to him. And like,
yeah.
Lex.
Now he's like, well damn. Yeah. Okay.
I just need to know. Just tell me straight. Don't play games with me. Who's the dad? Who the daddy? Who nailed you first?
Oh. No, listen, I'm not saying Bray deserved to be slapped, okay? I'm just saying that's all that's missing from Amber's, you know,
mm-hmm.
her point of view, her demeanor in that part.
She slaps people for less.
I was going to say, it's so weird. In my memory, I had that as a slap. I don't know why.
I thought so too.
And I was watching it back. I was like, oh, it's missing a slap. What happened?
I expected it to say slap in the notes, and I'm looking at it, and I go, oh, no?
I love it. I thought that was great. It was like the one moment in this whole episode. I was like, yes!
Yeah, and then so what's bad is everybody's waiting. Everybody's so, they've been waiting so long for Amber and Bray to be reunited and to be back mm-hmm. together and for this to be how it goes. Oof. And it's left on a cliffhanger. Mm.
Sweet. I love it. This is entertainment I paid for.
Mm-hmm.
Something is actually happening with these characters. I really like it because there's a consequence to the quickness of how they got back together and then immediately separated.
Yeah.
There should be consequences. Mm-hmm. Again, like they didn't discuss anything of importance. They never discussed the fact that Amber trusted him so little that she believed a lie and would prefer to pretend she was dead than confront him about it. Like, that is a discussion
that and start
you
a whole
need
life.
To have, right? So
that's pretty drastic.
That's pretty drastic. Okay, that was a big thing you did there, Amber. Bray has no reason to really trust you or have faith in you. And he has spent this entire time wondering if you're even going to come back to him. He doesn't even know. He's just trying to have faith in you. He's just trying to believe what the last words you said to him, that it mm-hmm. was for keeps this time, you know? But he doesn't know. Your track record isn't great.
No. History has not been kind to either.
And so I thought that was great that we're dealing with those consequences. It shouldn't be the sweet reunion where she's like, I'm pregnant. And he's like, yay! You know what I mean?
Yay!
Like, sweet! That's what I've always wanted.
The fans wanted, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's an actual conflict. Happy to see one. It's great.
Between Amber and Bray, of course.
Well, it's not because it's Amber and Bray. I'm just happy to see any real character.
Oh, no, I know. I'm not saying.
Between anybody.
I was just saying it is Amber and Bray, so of course there's some angst and drama.
And I like that she got mad. I would too if I was her. You know, I'm super she just discovered this horrible thing probably when she was out trying to convince people to fight in a war, you know, and nobody wants to do it. She's probably seen some messed up stuff out there, heard some messed up stories about what the Chosen had done to these people and why they don't want to fight, you know. And when she's finally done, she has to come back and tell them, I don't have an army. I just have people who are willing to actually listen to you. You know, that's disappointing. That's literally what I left to do. She spent that time mourning Dal, dealing with Trudy, helping her get through stuff, hearing Trudy's horrible story of what went down with the Chosen. And during that time, she discovered she was pregnant. You know, and just because she loves Bray doesn't mean she wants to commit to this man forever. And now she's carrying his sprog. That's a lot. That's a lot. And then you come back, you got to fight a war. And then you're thinking of what this is going to turn the world into. And you realize I'm carrying life with this guy. Again, not even sure he's the one, you know, and now I have to tell him, and I don't know how he's going to react. This is kind of scary. And I'm going to do it. Everyone's telling me I need to do it. I need to trust him. And so I finally get up the guts to express I'm preggers. I'm up the duff. And he asked me who the baby daddy was. Ow!
He had the audacity,
the whole great audacity. How dare you? How dare you? I might react irrationally too. I'd throw a table.
Right. And she's hormonal because she's pregnant.
How dare you impinge me like that? What are you insinuating?
Did you call me a whore?
Yeah, you know?
Yeah.
It's a great moment. Both of them are highly motivated to react the way they do.
He's just so nonchalant about it, too. Well, who's the dad? Whose baby is it?
It's a resignation.
It's the most normal thing to ask. I know. But he's like, well, here we are.
Here we are. My worst fear coming true. Who's the dad?
Oh, good times. Good episode. I mean, it was all over the place, but I enjoyed that ending there.
You know what? This moment makes the whole episode worth it. I forgot everything else already.
You think you're going to get this nice moment, you know, this nice moment. And then you look at Bray's face and for a second, you're like, oh, this is going to be good. And then you're like, oh, wait,
this is going to
be good. Oh, man.
I can't wait for the next episode now.
Yes.
Oh, the poor Brambers. The poor Brambers. You can't just let the Brambers be happy, can you? They can't.
No, they cannot. No, they never. Seriously, I've always said that. I'm like, you know, Bramber is one of the most popular couples, right? But they are never together for very long.
Nope.
They are never together for very long. Not physically. And it's... Okay. Whatever. Fine.
I'm telling you.
They give us Selena Ryan.
Their relationship is defined by separation and longing.
Mm-hmm.
That is their relationship.
Yeah. They work better if they're not together.
They just pine for each other. They long for each other. They miss each other.
Part of their personality.
You know?
That pining thing is the personality trait.
But they haven't really been together since season one. They haven't had a relationship since season one when they were in the same space for a long period of time, getting to know each other and building up a dynamic between each other.
Right. And then, like, we're only meant to believe that they're only together here right now for a short period of time before, you know, whatever else happens. No spoilers from me.
They haven't even discussed what's going to happen after this war. Is she going to go back to the Gaians? He going to go back to leading Mallrats?
Yeah.
They've not had any serious conversations. They just let their emotions, you know, get the better of them. Hey, not even blaming them, not judging them for it. Just saying, there's a lot of stress to be had in this relationship. You would not feel secure in this relationship if you were Bray or Amber.
Okay, cool. That brings Series 3, Episode 29 to a close. Thank you very much to the panel. And if you'd like to take part in a future episode of the podcast, please send a message on our Facebook page, on our website, or Instagram, thetribe.co.uk. So we'll see you next time for Episode 30. Until then, bye.
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 Bye.